Morning, everyone. I'd like to declare that God wins.
Amen.
That he wins through his son, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about Revelation. I mentioned that last time. It really, I believe, brings home all the themes of the Bible into one book. But if we take a chronological view of that book and start looking for big bad Antichrist and one world governance, which it does address, but that's not the theme.
Amen.
The theme is Jesus Christ and how he secured our victory. And it weaves all the other books in that if you find something in Revelation, it's got to be somewhere else in the Bible. So you got to go back to Genesis 3:15 to see the seed of the woman bruising the head of Satan. And in Revelation, it talks about that. So if you introduce a subject in Revelation and it's nowhere else in the Bible, like nuclear weapons blowing up and helicopters flying around and different things, then maybe you need to take another look at seeing that Jesus Christ is the theme.
Amen.
So there is a, our flesh is corrupt. We want to see signs and we want, and Jesus told us that. There are many that will come in his name and who are called in his name and propose that they are Christ. And that happened prior to 70 AD. So right now we're moving, I believe, into another period of time when it's similar to the 70 AD destruction of Jerusalem. But that's not what I want to talk about. Because there's one thing for sure. Jesus Christ will not come back till the last person in the Lamb's Book of Life is born again. And that person may be a little bitty baby in the womb that's being aborted. And today, we have a lot of blood on our hands in this nation, and we need to repent, or we're going to be destroyed. So, again, I'm not trying to go there. I want to try to concentrate on Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. All right? But we do believe that before the end of time that Satan will be loosed for a season to come against the camp of saints about in that holy city, which is spirit, truth, worship. So we have a target on our heads because we believe in Jesus Christ being the victorious Savior that he is, and we understand that he will save his people from their sins. 100%. This is not a chance system. He knew exactly who he was dying for on that dreadful day. And I want to talk about that day, but I want to, my subject is the half hour of silence in heaven. Half hour. If I were to ask you to pick any 3 hours of history and where you could somehow see a video of it and observe it, what would it be? Would it be Adam and Eve walking with the Lord God in the garden? Would it be the many miracles? Would it be the resurrection? I'm going to pick 3 hours, which I call a half hour in the Word of God in Revelation 8. And I'm going to say that is the darkest time on the face of the earth. Because if we don't understand that time, and Paul says to know him crucified, if we don't understand that, then we don't understand our depravity and we don't understand what he did for us. So I want to read a quick scripture in Revelation 8:1, and that would be my text. And then I want to try to go and find some other places in the rest of the Bible where this is talked about. Revelation 8:1 says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." That sounds like a strange thing to say, but this is the seventh seal. Six had gone before. Four, the first four, being the what many would like to think is the horses of the apocalypse, four horses apocalypse, but it's not. The apocalypse is not mentioned in the Bible. That pictures Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Okay? If you go back in Revelation 1, it talks about who is worthy to open a book. Well, only Jesus Christ is worthy to open that book.
Amen.
And then it's bound on the outside and on the back with seven seals. The first four seals talks about those four horses I just mentioned. And number seven talks about this hour, this half an hour. So if you look at Revelations and think that it's chronological, you're going to totally mess up. Then you're going to move into dispensationalism where everything has to be in order when it's not. There's different views at different angles that all point to Jesus Christ as having a multifaceted diamond. It's all a diamond, but looking at it at different angles and different facets. In Revelations 1, 5 through 6, it says that he has made us, Jesus has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Every one of us are kings and priests when we're born again. We're even kings and priests in the womb of the babies that are aborted. They're kings and priests. Why? Because we're all going to be resurrected when Jesus comes back again. But first, he had to endure a half hour of silence in heaven. Silence meaning God the Father would not look on his Son. Now, we know that to be 3 hours of darkness, from the sixth hour through the ninth hour. But the Bible calls it a half hour. Because many passages in the gospel talks about my hour and about this cup passing from me. And if you look at that, then you see that when it says my hour has not come yet, which means that he hasn't gone to his trial, he hasn't endured the shame of the cross. But more important, he hasn't entered the half hour. So a half of 6 hours is 3 hours. So, the Lord, I love the way the Bible is written. If you don't weave it together and rightly divide the word of truth, you're not going to find the victorious Jesus Christ. You're not going to find the Son of Man, who is our Savior, our elder brother, our kinsman, Redeemer. We have a human being that's perfect in heaven right now as our advocate, our judge. And the whole book of Revelation is about the victorious. You have seals, seven seals. You have seven trumpets of the gospel. You have seven plagues, which are visioned by the seven vials. All these things, seven, complete. But a lot of it deals with judgment of Satan, of the beast, of the false prophet. But it also, and eternally, when he is put in the lake of fire. But it also deals with judgment of God's people. If we all look at Revelation and say, well, that's all about what he's going to do to the bad side. No, he's judging us right now, the mercy seat of Christ. We are being judged right now. Our flesh is corrupt. Our flesh is what put him into that half hour of silence. And we were in him. But we didn't suffer. So I want to talk a little bit about that more. But first of all, I'd like to say in Revelation 10, it says, give me a little book, speaking to John. Take it, eat it up, and it shall make the belly bitter, but it shall be in the mouth sweet as honey. The truth is sweet to our new nature. But when it gets to the belly, our old nature hates it. It's bitter. All right? What we need is something that is sweet inside. And when it gets to our belly, it even stays sweet. So our old nature rebels against the truth. Okay? So there, and that, if we are taken out of the book of that life, it's because our manifestation is messed up. But we never can be taken out of the Lamb's book of life. And that's what the Revelation 1 talks about. That book that's opened by the one who's worthy to open it is the book that has your name in it. And every born-again child of God that Jesus Christ died for. So I am so thankful that we have pictures. We're kings and priests. And it says that in Revelation 13 and 17 that the beast system, and I've talked about that in October of last year, that system is coming, where a governance, one world governance is coming, but that system is not going to defeat Christ, because he's already lost. Satan is combined to the confined to the horizontal. He can't go back and forth to heaven anymore. His system is here. He's in a bottomless pit, and we're the bottomless pit. The earth is the bottomless pit, and we have a picture that he is going to try to unite mankind in Revelation 13 and 17 as the seventh head and try to come against Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. He's defeated. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it is finished. When? In that half hour of silence. So that half hour of silence is very significant. In Revelation 22, 17 through 19, it says that we're not to add to the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. It doesn't say Lamb's book of life. It's the book of our life in closeness to God. We cannot be close to God if we take a flesh view of Revelation. And that is adding to. So it really hurts to think that today, and I beg that God would strip anything that I would say out of your hearts that is adding to or taking away, I would lose out of the book of life today. And so I beg God for help to understand this book. And like Paul, to know him crucified. This book talks about Jesus Christ in that half hour of silence. It talks about the judgment against the kings of the earth, which are us, that the mother of harlots commit fornication with her. But it also says something interesting. It says the inhabitants of the earth are drunk on her wine. So again, we are the kings, the inhabitants, as the elect family of God, the inhabitants of the earth are the non-elect. The system out there that is brewing right now, I'm not afraid of it. It's not going to be good. But I know that God wins, and I know that Jesus Christ has already endured that 3 hours of darkness, which is called in Revelation 8 a half hour. So that was when God turned his back on his Son and made him to be sin who knew no sin. In which it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. In Matthew 26, it says that, "O my Father, if it were possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." He's saying that may it have an end. And also it says that to the disciples, they couldn't even stay awake 1 hour. But Jesus was facing 6 hours on the cross, and they couldn't stay up for 1 hour. And in Matthew, in that 42nd verse, it says, "O my Father, this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." I believe that Jesus is saying that if I have to endure eternal damnation for your people, I will. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. In Mark 15, it says that the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was complete darkness over the whole world. I believe God shut down every light in the universe for those 3 hours, which is the silence in heaven, which is a half hour. Okay, so in John 12, it says, "And John answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came. For this cause came I unto this hour." So that half hour, which is 3 hours, is what he was facing. He was going to be shut off. Leviticus 16 describes it as two goats used in the sacrifice of the atonement. One killed and the blood put in the Holy of Holies. And the other was the scapegoat that suffered. Jesus, this is suffered in those 3 hours. When he said, "Father, or rather, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was silence in heaven. So we know that we are baptized into his death. In Romans 6, it says, know ye not that many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead. When? 3 p.m. after the silence. Many people, I believe, falsely share that this is the 3 days later bodily resurrection. But he has to suffer eternal damnation before he can physically be resurrected. So he was raised by his Father. The silence of heaven was over. At 3 p.m., which is the ninth hour, God took Jesus Christ off of that altar like Abraham took his son Isaac, which pictures, and hugged him. Embraced him. And it pictures baptism when he was raised out of the water. The Spirit of God descended on him like a dove, and he was restored. So this is a beautiful picture, that silence in heaven. And brethren, I want to declare that unless we understand that 3 hours, and I said a while ago, if I had a choice, I would choose those 3 hours. You know what I'd be doing? I wouldn't be moving. I'd have to think about who I am. Can you imagine even the centurion or the soldier said, surely this was the Son of God. 3 hours of darkness, nothing. It's like in Egypt in the time when it said the dogs wouldn't even move their tongues in their mouths. So why would I pick those 3 hours? Because those are the most pivotal 3 hours of all history, which God describes as a half hour of silence. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I beg thee that this is what has gone before is of thee, and I beg that if not, you would strip it from the hearts and minds of these thy children. But Father, I really believe that we need to know who you are as the Son of Man, in the sacrifice you paid in that moment of silence from heaven. And you are the Son of God. And you are sitting on your throne and ruling and reigning. In Revelation 21:22, we have a picture of the tree of life, and we began in Genesis with that same tree. So we have that tree of life, which is you. But there was another tree of silence that you had to endure. And I beg thee, O God, that you would help us to not be afraid what man can do, because you say in Romans that no, nothing can separate us from your love. So we're thankful for that. Help us not to try to find signs in all the things that are happening in this world today, although we are to be smart about, in spiritually speaking, about what's about to take place. Help us, Lord, to believe in thee, even if we lose our lives, Lord, like Stephen was stoned to death, or the apostles were killed in the many ways that they did. Help us to be faithful to the end. Please bless this nation to repent. We are so astray, Father. Help abortion to end in this land. Help the leaders to rise up to try to take some of these things that are happening to our nation and destroying it from the inside out. We ask that you would give us truth and justice. But Lord, if you don't, we nevertheless will trust you. And we will not be afraid of what may come. Please forgive us for our sins when we fail thee to not take that time of silence to heart, Lord. Please be with us the rest of the service. Please be with those mentioned that are sick, Father, and give them a measure of grace. In Christ's name, amen.